I got the PlayStation Classic when it came out, and going back
to the one.
Yeah, well, I waited till
it was
like... Oh, so
you could play your favorite Final Fantasy games on it, right? Right?
Well, let's say that I waited until, the hackers had taken it fully apart so it could do other things, and B, until it was like $40 or something. But anyway, playing the games on that, it is hard to go back to those early 3D things, but I think Mario does it a lot better than others.
Mm-hmm.
Even like Ocarina of Time, which is still in my top three, probably, of all time, it's quite hard to get back to the visuals of that.
Yeah, exactly. And you mentioned, one of you mentioned the in-house art style of Nintendo and the way that they were making games. I feel like that style ages a lot better than, say, GoldenEye from the N64, where Pierce Brosnan's like flat face is superimposed onto
I mean, even Tomb Raider, if you look at Tomb Raider, which is from the same month I got it as Mario 64, it's like Lara Croft and that, she looks like she has been in a really bad accident.
Yeah, Potato Eye and Potato Raider. I remember those games.
Just give me Zelda Maker. That's all I want.
The way that they have... like revered a lot of these games, like you said, James, the idea of having a chapter select that you can jump in and just play for a little bit. Nintendo seems confused about if they're treating these as like actual games they want people to play for fun, or if they're treating them with the same reverence as like a museum relic or some kind of like commemorative thing, to the point where it is weird that Galaxy 2 is not included in 3D All-Stars, but maybe it's considered too new and doesn't have enough reverence in like Nintendo's eyes that it's like too new to be included in something for only $60 with three games. And it would be weird if they gave it away for free and threw it into Mario Odyssey or into Mario 3D All-Stars. It would be weird if they gussied it up and made it a $60 standalone Galaxy 2 remake when they're isn't one for Galaxy 1. The way that Nintendo... I have a big theory about this. The idea that Nintendo is the only surviving console maker and game maker from the mid-80s with the amount of pedigree that it has. You know, Sega, great. They're making games. It's fine. They don't have the same, like, foothold in the console market that Nintendo does. And the idea that they're Disney vaulting a lot of this stuff and like waiting us, like drip feeding Mario 64 and Mario Sunshine, Mario Galaxy out to us like this in such a Byzantine way, where it is a limited release, but there isn't a chapter select, but there's no Galaxy 2. It feels so confused and muddied, and I'm hoping that Nintendo, like they did with the NES and SNES, they go all Disney Plus on us and just give away some of their most precious games from that point for a low price.
You mentioned that, and that is where the chapter select thing comes in, where there's a special version of Metroid, for example, that like loads you up with all of the energy tanks and missiles and all that kind of stuff right before the Mother Brain battle or something, you know, and there's like a version of Dr. Mario that puts you on one of the upper levels, so that you don't have to play up to it and everything. Stuff like that. If they add GameCube and N64 stuff to the Nintendo Online service, I would be totally down for that. And it could be that part of the reason that they are pitching this as a limited time thing is that they are going to keep dripping that stuff. Now that we know that the hardware can more than handle those games. But it could be that when they get into N64 and GameCube territory, they have to handle that a bit differently than NES and SNES games, because you're looking at a bigger download overall. You're looking at something that isn't like, you know, the original Metroid from the NES, a, you know, half megabyte save state. That, you know, that's a world of difference from chapter select in, you know, an N64 cartridge game, just in terms of how much elbow grease they have to put into that In their terms, not to say that it necessarily is a lot of work, but in terms of the way that they want to price it.
And adding to the confusion of what they will port things to versus what they will release for free versus what costs $60 or $30 or whatever is the 3DS, which I'm sad to say I'm glad it has been discontinued as of a few days ago. But the idea of, you know, because the DS was one of my favorite consoles of all time, and I'm sad to see the 3DS go. But if the Switch is the only thing they're going to focus on, it seemed for a while that Zelda remakes from the 90s got put on the 3DS just because. Luigi's Mansion remake from a year or two ago, thrown into the 3DS just because they needed something to keep that afloat. And I'm really hoping that eliminating the muddiness of the message of portable versus TV versus two screens versus one screen makes it easier for Nintendo to make strategic decisions about what games get re-released and how.
Yeah, and the other thing is, if you look at Link Between Worlds, that's going to be a hard one to if they to bring that to.
I don't know how you do
Switch, because you've got 3D, like literal 3D effects in it. That,
yeah.
I don't know. There's something that makes me annoyed about Nintendo's constantly trying to sell you the same thing again and again. I mean, I don't know how many times I've bought like A Link to the Past. Many times.
Yeah, I have many copies of it as well.
Yeah, I mean, there were all those games that they released as Game Boy Advance cartridges for like an NES game. So you had a GBA cart for Punch-Out and for Metroid and for God knows how many things.
Yeah.
But just bringing up the GBA makes me think of all these GBA games that have never been re-released.
Nope. I want so many WarioWare games on any console now.
I still remember playing Sonic on the GBA and the sort of the weird, like, there's like Sonic the Hedgehog is on a Nintendo platform. You know, what is the world coming to?
Yeah, the idea of, you know, so on the Wii U, they ported a few DS titles to the Wii U at some point and gave you many, many options as to how to display both screens to best suit the game. One of them had, you know, your TV was the top screen and the gamepad was the bottom screen that you can actually touch and like write things on. Some of them had them like window in window, picture in picture, reversed in different ways depending on how the game is. My theory for how the Switch will handle this, and I really hope they do, is there are some games on the Switch that you can play vertically. Detach the Joy-Cons, rotate the screen 90 degrees, and it's a tall screen. Clubhouse Games does this. I think a few, like there's a Brain Age remake that does this. I think that there will be a point where you can play a DS game on the Switch by detaching the Joy-Cons. Maybe there's a different grip they'll come up with to add back the DS buttons. And you can play vertically on the Switch, split in two, top screen, bottom screen. They're both touch screens now, which is great. I'm really hoping that is how they are able to preserve that history of the DS and those really wonderful games.
Well, there's the rumors of the like a Switch Pro coming possibly next year, and which will do 4K games and stuff like that. And I'm wondering, you know, is that the point where we're going to get the, well, now we've got to actually remaster stuff because if we're pushing this thing as a 4K system, these like early 3D era stuff just doesn't hold up.
And Nintendo is also the only, like, they're the only one from the 80s that has still survived in the capacity they have. They are the only ones that have had success in both the console and handheld market. I'm not talking about Sony right now. They're fine. PS Vita was great, but that's fine. The idea of Nintendo re-releasing older games on their handheld once the handheld is powerful to run it, ergo the NES series on the GBA, I think Donkey Kong Country was the first big Game Boy Color game that was on the SNES, and of course Mario 64 on the DS. I think it's fascinating, again, now that they've discontinued the 3DS and can just remake everything for the Switch and put all that weight behind that arrow, I really hope that that is where these games will live, because like Moises, I miss all of these GBA games I just can't play anymore. Give me Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga, please. I've been dying to play that game recently.
The solution to this that I have employed is never getting rid of anything. So on top of a wardrobe in a box is, you know, yeah, my GBAs and all my GBA games. So
yeah, I found my GBA SP in a box at some point. With, I want to say it was Metroid Zero Mission still plugged into it, and I didn't even have to plug it in. It powered on and still had battery charge.
Oh, gosh.
I hadn't touched the thing in, I don't know, 10 years.
I still have all of my Game Boys. I've never thrown them away, but they are currently in New Jersey, 5 hours south, and I cannot travel. I was very close. Truge has been yearning to play Twilight Princess again, so I was going to bring my Wii back from New Jersey last time I was going to visit, but that wound up being canceled. And my family offered, oh, we can mail you the Wii, it'll be fine. And then I thought, wait a minute, this is a priceless gem of all of my data for the last 15 years of some of my favorite games I've ever played. I'm not trusting this to any postal worker. I'm going to take it into my own hands and bring it back up to Boston.
What I did for a lot of these things was invest in USB adapters for controllers. So I've got like little adapters that I can plug in, and I can now plug anything from a SNES up to like a GameCube controller into my Mac. And ooh, there are so many good emulators. I recommend looking into Dolphin, which will emulate GameCube and Wii stuff.
I love that they released wireless GameCube styled controller with both Z triggers.
Yes,
because it's my favorite controller. It really is, has been for the longest time.
I did get the wireless Super Nintendo controller that Nintendo did, and I also have
the
8-bit version of that as well. Because
it is so weird. It is weird playing Super Metroid without a cord on the controller.
Yeah.
I have the 8-bit DOE Pro Plus or something in the style of the SNES, so I have the really good D-pad, and like the in North America at least, the gray and purple is my favorite look on a controller. 8-bit DOE also makes a wireless adapter for classic GameCube controllers, so I have a few of those. And even though the original GameCube controller doesn't have a second Z button, I only ever play with the GameCube controller on games where that doesn't matter. So you can't really play it with like Breath of the Wild or something, but I can play Mario Kart or Smash or Mario 64, I guess, or Mario Sunshine if I want with it.
I was playing, I have to say, Mario 64 with a PlayStation 4 controller, and it's just like sacrilege, but I like it.
Yeah.
The only game that I really needed a specific kind of controller for recently was Katamari Damacy on the Switch, which is one of my favorite games of all time. It doesn't work nearly as well with the offset joysticks. I originally played it, I think it was originally only released on the PS2, where a core gameplay mechanic was manipulating both sticks at the same time, and it doesn't really work when it's offset like that. So the 8-bit DOE controller with the properly aligned joysticks is ideal for that game on the Switch.
I just want all of those GBA Castlevania games, just all of them.
I never played Castlevania. I want to jump into that.
They're incredible. I mean, literally, like a cartridge of Castlevania Circle of the Moon, one of the early GBA games period, goes for stupid amounts of money. Not even new in box, but especially new, like a new in box copy of that goes for $150-$200. They are from the pedigree of Symphony of the Night, and they are incredibly great, and they've not been re-released outside of their original forms. They might have been available on the DS eShop, I don't know, but I'm not gonna buy them on the DS eShop. if Nintendo adds N64 games to their Switch Online thing, GoldenEye on its own with Nintendo Switch Online multiplayer, that in and of itself sells even more Switches.
Absolutely.
And if it is this style of just directly dropped over, you know, emulated the core game, they're not having to do anything, and it's just a re-release of an existing thing that they're not charging a separate price for.
Nobody, except for James, I guess, has nostalgia for any like older Sony games, but even if you wanted to play them again...
I do. Intelligent Cube in particular.
Right. But if you wanted to play them again, you don't need to seek out PS1 hardware. Playing it on the PS4 with, you know, an official release or maybe some sort of hack feels just as good, if not better, than, you know, trying to play Mario 64 with a PS4 controller. It feels weird, and the way that Nintendo's hardware and software and controller design really influence the games matters to Nintendo much more than Sony or Xbox.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that the controller for the N64 was designed for playing Mario rather than the other way around. And they delayed the release of the N64 for like 4 months so they could get polished a game to the level that they wanted. And I love that sort of commitment to the bit.
There's a documentary called Console Wars that dropped on CBS All Access this Wednesday that like the Netflix High Score miniseries covers a bit of the console war time, and the movie focuses most intently on Sega and Nintendo, but the get is that they got all of the executives that were working for either company at the time, including the guy who worked for Sega and left Sega to be the head of marketing for PlayStation, and it's effectively getting inside the heads of just how much these people hated each other. And it starts out kind of going, okay, yeah, I've heard this. But then it's these guys telling tales out of school just about how much they hate each other. And it is pretty magical. But they do edge into N64 and PlayStation time period. And they specifically touch on that, you know, Nintendo decided to delay their release and how Sega of Japan forcing the Saturn release up is what completely doomed it, and effectively Sega.
Wow,
it's good. Seek it out.
I'm excited to watch it. I don't have CBS All Access anymore, but I'm excited to watch it. The idea that the N64 the controller was designed for different modes, where if you hold it one way, it's great for 3D games, but if you hold it another way on the left side with the D-pad is, it's great for 2D games. There were no 2D games on the N64 worth writing home about.
Until what, like Yoshi's Story?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And I think it's so funny they dedicated a third of the controller to a series of games that no one ever really wanted or needed on the N64.
I mean, I like these weird controllers that were along the way, you know, like the Dreamcast controller and the GameCube controller and all this. And, you know, Moises, you said you love the GameCube controller, but I think it's another evolutionary step until we've got to the sort of... You know, we got to the dual stick PlayStation controller and the 360 controller, which are kind of like we've stopped evolving really at that point because they're just fine. They're perfect.
Do either of you think that the back paddles now are going to become a part of game controller design? I don't think so.
Okay, put it this way. I got the back paddle attachment for the PS4 controller and I hate it. I used it for like 2 days and I took it off because it just gets in the way of where my fingers naturally lie on that thing. Mm-hmm. I think if the paddles were integrated and so that they were flush with the back of the controller, I've never used one of the Xbox Elite controllers because I can't justify spending like whatever it is, $200 and something on a controller. But if it was well done, maybe, but I'm not playing any of these. Oh, I can see a Brian.
So I'm turning on video. I will continue to sing the praises of the Hori Split Pad Pro.
I have the same one.
So good. It has back paddles on here that are remappable. I don't know if you can see, but it is very flush and very easy to play. And you can remap this. I set it to the A button most of the time, so I don't have to remove
them. I have them, and I've never used them. I do really like that split controller, though.
Oh, James, they're so good.
Yeah. So the Hori things that you guys have both sung the praises of, I keep telling myself I want, and you know, I when I have the $50, it goes toward something else, like more Mack Weldon sweatpants or something. but those back paddles, they intrigue me. At the same time, I'm like, since those only work in handheld mode, and I play docked a lot, I just can't. see myself getting acclimated to them. And I don't own a PS4 or an Xbox One, and you know, I might get a PS5 eventually. I don't know, but I have so much of my time gaming taken up on the Switch that if it's not on the Switch, I kind of don't care about it. As much as I want to play Sony's Spider-Man game, as much as I want to play the Avengers game, and that sort of thing, I stay pretty busy with a Switch, and I would need a lot more free time than I foresee myself having, to go anywhere that back paddles are even an option.
I also play almost exclusively docked on the Switch, but a few months ago when Clubhouse Games came out and my entire house owns a Switch and a copy of Clubhouse Games, we played so much in handheld together, and all of our Joy-Cons started drifting at around the same time when Switch shortages started happening. So I got the SplitPad Pro, fell in love with it, and play almost exclusively handheld with it, and sold another set of SplitPad Pro to another member of the household after seeing how great it is for me, and there's been no drift so far. The D-pad is way better, and it's way more comfortable for long handheld stretches. So I agree. I play. Yeah,
that's the problem I have with it, or with the Joy-Cons, is my hands are just not built for them, and I use the Pro controller and almost exclusively with the thing docked. But if I need to travel, which, you know, when we used to travel, that's why I got the split pad. But I do find it's like having a Pro controller just like cut in half with some laser cutter and stuck onto the sides.
Yeah, Moises, I can't recommend it highly enough.
Well, I took my Joy-Cons apart and put a D-pad on my left Joy-Con, and you know, it has taken care of me as I've needed when I'm using Joy-Cons. Most of the time I'm using the Pro controller docked. I got the Euro style SNES colorway.
The one I'm showing on video right now for listeners is
Atomic Purple.
Atomic Purple N64 Game Boy Color style. I also took apart a Joy-Con and I screwed it up. There's a button missing from this and it's unplayable.
I was going to say, so. You're braver than me. Every time I took apart a PlayStation 4 controller because the thumbsticks were wearing out. So I got some new thumbsticks, took it apart. It never worked properly after that point.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've been totally fine having that D-pad Joy-Con. And so early on, one of the bazillion third-party accessories from PowerA or Hori, I don't remember who, was this set of like comfort grips for when you have the Joy-Cons off. And they're also battery packs, so they fit two AA batteries. And when you slide the Joy-Cons into these, they more naturally fit in your hands, because you're holding on to something with some girth to it. So I use those without batteries in them just because they more naturally fit the shape of my hands, and I can play with Joy-Cons for much, much longer than I ever used to. And I got them, you know, on clearance at GameStop for $10 or something. I don't even know, you know, what the incredibly ultra verbose Amazon name for them is, but I highly recommend those to anybody who plays the Joy-Cons for, you know, anything more than a few minutes at a time.
Oh, I'm so angry there's no analog support in this for GameCube controllers. Come on.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is I had forgotten that was, you know, an issue for Sunshine. And I still don't know how it actually works because I haven't powered the game up a single time.
Yeah, me neither.
But I presume it's been sorted out.
James Thompson, if you did not like the 2D Mario games, certain sections of Mario Odyssey must not have hit you right in the feels like they did for us.
No, I mean, I was like, I knew what they were going for, and you know, I'd played enough of the 2D Mario, but it didn't have that sort of nostalgic pang for me. I don't know. I mean, it's like, it's not that I have a problem with 2D. Like, I think Link to the Past is probably my favorite game of all time, but just don't get it.
the jump up superstar sequence in Mario Odyssey brought a tear to my eye more than once, just like honoring the history of, you know, both the game itself and the people like me who have played Mario games for 25 freaking years. It's amazing.
Did you feel appropriately honored, Brian?
I felt so honored, yes. I was appropriately honored by Super Mario.
No. I guess this weekend the Tokyo Game Show is still happening somehow, so there's probably going to be more stuff than just Animal Crossing fall update stuff.
Oh my god, happening. I'm so excited for I tweeted this earlier. I'm just amazed that Truge has been able to make as spooky an island as she has already without any of the Halloween decorations.
I like the fact you have to grow the pumpkins yourself.
Yeah.